Now I'd like you to come right over with me to the 16th chapter of the first book of Samuel. We must get through it somehow, mustn't we? First Samuel 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an ephah with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. For the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Appear all thy children. And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him. For we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. For the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favour in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed, and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And God will bless to us his own precious word. We dealt at some little length with the second man that came under Samuel's hand. You remember the first selection were his own sons, Joel and Abiah. And I'm not going to enlarge upon the subject again, but you will remember that Samuel was seeking to impress a divine principle that could bring good results upon the nation. That Joel is, he is my God, that's the servant. Abiah means Jehovah is my father, that is sonship. And that sonship and service must walk hand in hand together. And there Samuel wanted to impress upon the nation these two great principles that belong to the nation. Sonship and service are essential if ever Beersheba, the well of the oath, the covenanted promises of God, were to be enjoyed. Now, brother and sister, I did point out, oh, you can recite a lot of promises. I can too. But as soon as we get into trouble, we forget the promises, don't we? And we get frightened and we get scared and we react just the same as anybody there outside. And when we're in trouble, you wouldn't think we were Christians at all, would you? But please, brother and sister, if our own spiritual experience corresponds with the conditions, that here we are behaving in character as God's Son, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and so on, be separate. If we acted as sons and displayed the character of God, and showed to a world that we were God's servants, those promises that we know mentally, we would know experimentally in our experience day by day. Brother and sister, the book's full. The Apostle Peter calls them exceeding great and precious promises, and they're yours and mine, and they're there for the taking. Now, I'm not going to go into that, but there's the first choice that Samuel brings before the people and would display divine principle for their own benefit, that they might know the blessing of God upon them day by day and throughout their experience. And we must learn this blessed truth and walk in the light of this truth if we want to show our world that there's more in Christ than our world could cover. Brother and sister, we're Christians, aren't we? We're Christians. Look, have you ever thought of it like this? That the Lord Jesus has been bringing out of himself that has been satisfying the heart of God from all eternity. Now there you are, you can't understand it. And if your faith isn't strong enough, then don't try to go back. Because when you've gone back as far as you can go, then you've still got to start all over again. And he goes back further. And this human mind can't conceive of a person that never had a beginning, and that never grew up, that always was, and always will be. Brother and sister, I don't understand a bit of it, but I believe it. I believe it. And I believe God manifested himself in his own Son, and publicly, but 3.5 years. And he could say, I have declared thy name before the people. A lovely name. I love the Lord Jesus. Brother and sister, can you really say it? Oh, I know you trust in him. For dear loving, oh my, he's glad. But then, out
depths of eternity, the Lord Jesus has been displaying things that belong to himself, and God's heart has been satisfied. Not a human heart, God's heart has been satisfied. And so under the name of wisdom, there in Proverbs chapter 8 that you know so well, before the earth received its decree, before the foundations of the earth were laid, before the highest part of the dust of the balance was brought forth, then I was by him. As one brought up with him, I was daily his delight. Now, brother and sister, try to get hold of that. And we know the first time God opened heaven when the Lord Jesus was here, God was telling us that 30 years that the Lord Jesus had lived here was for his pleasure and his delight. This is my beloved Son, in whom is all my delight. And God was passing a verdict upon 30 years that we know very, very little about. And then when he fulfilled his 3.5 years of public service, then God opens heaven again, and he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom is all my delight. And I tell you, when he died on that cross and they buried him, God showed his delight in him again, and he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand. Now look, my brother and sister, please get it home. Get it home to your heart. That there in that man, the man that's at God's right hand, the man that still bears the marks of men's wickedness and hatred and evil, that man, the Son of God incarnate, has been bringing out of himself from all eternity that would have been satisfying the heart of God, and he'll do it for all eternity to come. And he's not like the preacher. He hasn't got to repeat himself. Everything is fresh out of himself. Now, brethren, you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and you'll get it. God is faithful, who hath called you unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And God wants us to come in, just like the Father with the prodigal son, feeding upon that fatty calf together. He wants us to come in and share his delight in his own beloved Son. I tell you, brother, the more we get to know him, the more this world will lose its attraction, and we'll be glad to be pilgrims and strangers in the world. Now get over that. You young brethren, your life before you, if the Lord will, learn this secret while you're young. And I tell you, it'll help you on your pilgrim journey. It'll bring spiritual maturity, and it'll help you in your service for God. For that principle says, no, it says the two bribes, so they became the servants of men. They perverted judgment, so the character of God was lost. Beersheba, he goes out of the picture and you don't read of it. And so that principle just fell down to the ground in pieces. And so now they said, let's have a king. Make us a king like the nations round about. Now, will you notice that? This is the first time that they're bringing the nations in. Bringing the nations in. All did have their eye on them, brother and sister. Make no mistake about that. My, they'd been watching the rule and they'd been watching the government. And I suppose they thought, my, they're miles ahead of us. And here we are still with a judge judging over us and going round and making his circuit and the rest of it. And here they are, my, these are modern, really modern. My, they're leaving us miles behind. Make us a king, like the nations round about. Now I've emphasized it, brother. We don't want it. And we don't want to follow a word. Let them get as modern as they like. Brother and sister, they've a long way to go yet. A long, long way to go. No, I don't think I told you. You know, my old father is away now. He used to take us two lads, we were them old enough, and he used to take us into a shed that he built as a workshop. I'm quite sure his wife wouldn't let him do it in the house, and that's why we had to go in the shed. And he had an old, smoky, paraffin magic lantern. And we used to cough and splutter all the time he was using with it. And he took in what he called his animated flies in human, you're old enough to remember it, don't you? Animated flies, and he used to stick them in and give the impression as though they were moving, you know. And my old daddy thought it was marvellous. And we used to nudge each other and laugh, you know, laugh for all the we don't let them see it. But there it is. Look, brother, it's not a magic lantern today, is it? Hey? No, I tell you this. They turned from a magic lantern to a cinema, didn't they? Eh? And that was the thing that got hold of me. But I'll tell you this. They're shutting the cinemas up, aren't they? Aren't they now? My, on every hand they're shutting them up. Do you know why? Because they don't need to go out of the house now. And they don't need to go to the cash box and pay to go in. They've got a television there. No, no, brother. I'm not condemning you. That's your business. That's not my business. But I'm just telling you this, brother. I'm telling you this. That there in the last generation, it was an old magic lantern. And then when it came to my generation, it was a cinema. And now we come to this one, and it's a television. Listen, brother and sister, the television's not the end of it.
No, there's going to be something more wonderful than a television. No, there is there. I've often thought I'd like one of those telephones that I keep now in my wife.
But you know, I've seen them up in London. You can buy a telephone with a little television on the side of it. So you can be looking at the person that you're talking to.
Imagine that the man of feeling feels anything.
So would I. That's beside the point. Look, brother and sister, you haven't got to the end of it. There's going to come a time when there'll be a man that will sit up on the floor. And he'll be acknowledged by a great heart in this world, and that man will have it under his thumb, and there won't be a thing for what he doesn't know that is going on. Don't ask me how, brother. I don't know. But he'll do it. And I'll tell you something else. That man, or his co-partner to be particular, he'll be able at his own will to call fire down out of heaven, eh? I thought only God could do that, eh? Well, Elijah had to ask God to do it, didn't he? And the disciples, they said to the Lord Jesus, shall we have God to do it? But that man will be able to do it. And it won't be just the deception of the hand. He'll be able to do it. And I'll tell you something else too. He'll be able to make an image. And he'll be able to give it life. And it's not a robot, lad. He'll make an image. And he'll be able to give it life. We haven't reached the end of the journey yet. Can I tell you something, lad? Tell you something beautiful, lad. The number of a man is six. I like. It was the sixth day that he was made. That's his number. Have a look through the scripture. And men have forever been trying to reach seven. That's God's number. and the nearest that a man will get to reach heaven is six. 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 And that's as near as you'll get to God. And he'll demand to be worshipped as God. Now, God likes to leave things to the fullness of the time. Oh, we should have dealt with things as easy as that in the Garden of Eden, couldn't we? Eh? Just one offense we could have dealt with. But God waits. And he waits until the fall is arrayed, all its power and all its strength, all its might and all its intelligence. He waits. He waits. Until those two beasts in the world will say, "See, see, we've thrown God out of his house." He'll wait. And he'll wait until the limit of human intelligence will be reached. There are limits. Limits. And when they're reached, then my Bible says, sudden distraction shall come upon them, as a woman in travail. My God gets more glory out there than me. Now my brother, my sister, let's learn this lesson. We'll seek to walk according to divine principles. And walking according to divine principles, then we'll get divine blessing. And if we get divine blessing, there's nothing outside there in all its increased intelligence and its pleasure that will be able to attract the heart and distract it from the one that loved us and gave himself on us. Have you got the principle? Oh, my young ones, get older. Those of us who are older, we ought to know, and we ought to be living in the light of it. And then the second man comes, the man like Saul. You remember I said, now those two men, the men never chose them, the nation never chose them, and God never chose them, and so they were put away. But it led the children of Israel to want to copy a world outside a godless world. And they prepared to bear the character of a world outside and the character that God would have them bear according to his word. And so they chose him. Oh yes, as I said before, it gives the impression that God chose him. No, 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 no. God didn't choose him because he liked him. No. He chose the man that they would have chosen if they'd have had the understanding and the wisdom of God. This man Saul, the son of Kish, was the best choice that they could ever make. And so God said, there he is. And that's the man that you would have chosen if you could have understood the whole picture as I understand it today. And as I said, Hosea 13, I gave you a king in mine anger and took him away in my wrath. Now, brother and sister, the nation chose that man, but God never acknowledged him. You remember, I said it doesn't say head and shoulders. It says shoulders and upwards. There's no mention of the headship of Saul. None at all. He's got shoulders and upwards. I tell you, brother and sister, if you treat that head off, he was no bigger than anybody else in the country. That's the man. He was just a lot of show, but there's no reality. Now here he is, the mighty man of force, that before there. A man successful in his business. A man that could be admired by the people round about. And in fact, as I said before, it's feminine in its character, and he was attractive to the women folk of his day. And there he is, standing in such a a goodly, acceptable by the people, and a choice young man, acceptable by the young women. And my, that's the man that anybody would fall for. Brother, I did finish up by saying this. He didn't know a thing about Samson. He'd never followed the story this time. He didn't even know that Samuel was going to be in that city on that day. He didn't know anything about the circumstance and the purpose that the Samuel met with his servant before. And then he didn't know how to come, and he hadn't got the means to come. And then he goes into the city and inquires of the young women as they're going about, and they say, well, Grok, he's ready to go to the sacrifice. You'll find it. And Saul stops the man and says, can you tell me where the house of the seer is? And the man says, I'm the seer. And he didn't even know the man. Now that's the man. All right out there. A man appreciated out there. A man attractive out there. A man successful out there. But as far as spiritual things were concerned, he was as dead as that. Now it's that man that God will bless, and he'll give him everything that is intended to the rule of his people, and he'll give him the opportunity to prove himself that he can do it. As I said last evening, God will do that to the first man. He'll give all the opportunity. All right. You want a proof of it? Psalm 8, verse 5. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and with honor. Do that. There you go. That's Adam. That's Adam. And God set that first man in that position where he was going to set his own son. And that first man in all that blessed position that God set him in, he said it and sent it into the world. And then the Spirit of God takes it over into Hebrews chapter 3. And he says, we don't see for this day all things that under him, that Adam. That's what he says. No, he's not talking about Christ. We see not yet all things that under him. No. The thought is, well, we don't see things still for under the first man. But we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. And there's the man, the second man. And others, what is all this living?
There you are. Wasn't he giving the first man the opportunity? Why did he give the Ten Commandments? Why did he give all the laws and the ceremonies? Giving the first man the opportunity to prove himself. And the verdict of God comes. By the deeds of the law, though no man, no flesh, is justified in his hand. And so God is always giving the first man every opportunity to prove himself, and man has always proved the failure before his God. And that's God. Say, and say. I did tell you the reason why he went to fight the dead with Gideon, did I? Of course he did. That's where all his home hall, not where I got. So, 470 miles left. Do you remember? Men. Then the other 11.5 is your sign for terminal. Do you remember? And it was 10 to the 11.5 that we were trying to exterminate the faith. He said, we can't give them any of our freedom. We vowed that we can't take any of our offers. which was the city that never went out of the fire? Said the few. Then let those 400 Benjamites go and take the ride from Jabesh Gilead. And without Jabesh Gilead, the tribe of Benjamin would have gone out. That's why he went to fight. You see, if those men of the tribe of Jabesh Gilead and the Moabites had taken out their right eye as a reproach, it would have been a reproach upon Saul. Saul was the Benjamin. And that's where his origins led. And there was no one going to reproach Saul, the son of Kish. And so he gathered his army. And he fought. All right, brother. There's a lovely man. And his name is Jonathan. And I'll tell you this. That son was 1,000 times better than his father. And it would have been better if his son had sat up on the throne instead of Saul the son of Kish.
All in the gathering forces. But did you notice? Did you notice? He picked his tent there at Gibeah, and there were the Philistines waiting at midnight. But Saul is ready to go now, and he'll have his thousands, and gradually they'll bring them back down, 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 and back to their own home.
Until he's just got a few hundreds around him.
The man hasn't got the confidence of the people. But my, there's an end. Jonathan is a good man. A grand man. Say to his army there, he says, come up with me. Come up with me to the rock of this man. And if he tells us to come higher, then it means the Lord will deliver him into our hands. And my, Jonathan, and his army there, they make a terrific loss of the Philistines, to such an extent that they're fighting one another. Genie takes the credit. Genie takes the credit. Saul. Saul. That's the kind of man. And he wouldn't give any credit to his son. And Saul, he said, you'll not eat anything. Nothing at all. Until you're destroyed down. And Jonathan coming back and he knows nothing about it. And as they're walking through the woods, he extends his rod and takes of the honey of his dripping from the bucket. And he takes it and his eyes are enlightened. And Paul is ready to kill his own son. God never does that. God always has a sacrifice for ignorance. But he is ready to kill his own son. His people are destructive.
Brother and sister, you don't want a leader like that, do you? I've heard of legality. But I'm going to tell you this. Legality too often is a cloak for carnality. The spiritually minded man doesn't need to be a legal man. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. That wicked man. Samuel says, I'll be with you in 7 days. And he waited for 7 days, but because Samuel wasn't there in the season, then he offered his own sacrifice. And he had no confidence in the man of God. And Samuel prayed to God. God is taking the kingdom away from him. And he will give it into the hands of the man. Have a look at that man. Have a look at it. That man will go lower and lower and lower until he will resort to a victor vendor. And he'll go lower until he dies with his own sword. And he'll go lower
until they're hanging as one curse on the walls of Bethlehem. He led his people to ruins, and even the people outside. All that they could do was honor and shame. My Bible tells me he ought to have a good report of them that are with us. Now, brother, there's a young man. Oh, he'll come in a bit later on. But I'm going to tell you this. You see that man dancing? Oh, this could lead it on to quite a bit another one in our version. Could lead it on. Listen, brother. When David is coming up there out of the valley of Elah, and he's coming with the head of Goliath in one hand, and he's coming with the sword of Goliath in the other. Jonathan looks at him. You won't find your Bible telling you that David loves Jonathan. Do you have a little fight? No. But I tell you this, to say that Jonathan loved David as his own God. All right, you want a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus then? There he is. There he is. The one that flipped in Texas. The one that sat next to the throne. He flipped in Texas. And he made himself true. Because he loved that man, David. And he loved him as his own soul. And that man he hung with one curse up on the walls of Bethlehem. Because that man died, there hanging up in the walls of Bethlehem, the crown was cut up in the head of David. The truth of it, you might. Oh, it's lovely. I'll give you something. I'm going to leave this now. So, I'll give you something.
Brother, will you have a look at those pictures? There it is in the second of Samuel chapter 1, and just quoting from that. My love to me, the fullest wonder, the pattern, the love of him. Now listen, sister. That doesn't mean you left your husband. No. Isaiah refers to that letter, and God speaking to the prophet, he says, can a mother forget her suffering child? That she should cease to have compassion upon the son of her womb? My, she's a good mother, would say no. Right. And so this. You see him on the throne. Revelation chapter 5. He's there on the throne. But you see how he's described? A young lamb. As he had been specially slain. And so, has got to go to Bethlehem. And he's got to meet this man, Jesse. Oh my, the lovely scripture. It's full, isn't it? Have a look at the end of the last chapter of the book of Ruth, will you? And there are four women there by inference. And you've got the names there in Matthew chapter 1. The Lord made the evil life Cana, which he bare Ere to be that. Hey? That's the first one, the third woman. I'm quoting from these four. So there it is in Matthew 1. And then we find it in Matthew chapter 1 that Salmon is that boy of Rahab. There's the second one. And then boy is called Ruth. And it says, the soul
have I purchased all that was Elimelech, and all that was Mahlon, and all that was Cilion, and this there I purchased Ruth to be my wife. That's the third one. And the last name mentioned there in the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth is David. And he's the one that married Bathsheba. There was one.
So you have a fool.
My brother, Jesse is the one that he brought us. And God is going to use them a genealogy of them, involving four women, two of them that were high, one that was in adultery, and another that was a Moabite. And grace will save them, and they will be in the line of that genealogy that has produced the man, full of grace and truth. Oh, for reading that, I'm giving you a little bit of news to send. So, I will be taking it and think of that. It's wonderful. I enjoy reading it. So I hope you do as well. Now, Samuel says, how can it go on? How can it go if it's all here? It will kill me. God says, take an effort with you. And say, I'm not the effect. Others, will you have a look at this in Corbin's now? Because this is a strange kind of an effort. And I'll tell you when this effort is offered. If there's a body found in a field, and they don't know who's committed the crime, then the high priest and the judges of the cities that lie near it to that body, they've got to come to the body. And they've got to measure from that body out to the two cities that lie nearest to it. And the one that is the nearest is the one that's charged with murder. And the elders of the Bethlehem, the temple, and they see this effort. And here Samuel bringing the effort to the judge in Israel. Art thou come? Has something been done and we don't know anything about it? Have we failed in our task as elders of the city? What have we done? This could not be done. And then the sacrifice unto the Lord. Brother, do you know where God was going to look for a man to rule over his will? Do you know? He was looking in the place where God was. Men that knew the significance of sacrifice.
Men that could recognize what that meant. Men that could have a conscience that they failed in their vigilance and in their act. Men that were spiritual enough to be able to come up to the sacrifice. With such a great man as Samuel and a fellowship with him there at the altar. Brother and sister, that's where you'll get the honor. Saul never lived in a place like that. The son of Samuel didn't want to live in a place like that. You'll never find them living in a house with Samuel. Never. He tells us when Samuel died, they said, I know. There was nobody big enough. And no one stood with him. But standing the feet of Samuel, he died and he was a lot to them. For then, there comes a place where there is a God in him. And he's looking for him. And after the doctor had,
then Jesse is married to happy children in front of them. And he looked the world at him. And he made the stone that broke his pieces. He looked up in the height of his head. And he said, surely the Lord's anointed is his body. God said, look not up in the height of his stature, nor yet up in his countenance. For God seeth not as man seeth, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh up in the heart. I have not chosen this. Oh, that's going to lead you on again. Well, I'm never sure, Mandy. I tell you, you won't want to come back for a long time. I'll have given him the gift. Brother, will you have a look at those three sections of the burnt offering? Am I getting a bit too deep now? In the first section of bullet, in the second section of the bit of gold, in the third section of taking out a circle gold, will you look at them? Can you see that man? Will you look at that bullet?
You take that kindly, my older brother.
but you have to admit it right. And you say it by your name. And we need ourselves. But we need more than ourselves. We need a godly example. And those that live with that vision, where there was godly elders of the city, who say, the Spirit is elegant. That's where God speaks for us to be a king for his people. And the whole God has got his finger on him. And before he formed Samuel Israel, that man had a heart for the people. And he was caring for the people. And I lived in Norwich. I was out on the road to speak one morning. And I met a brother in another meeting. And my, was he that king of the angels? He said, I went to the Orbit House meeting last night. He said, may I ask, could I be put on the Orbit House? And he wouldn't have me. And my, was in a temper. And I thought to myself, that Orbit House made a big problem. I said, brother, if you don't put you on the altar side, we can't stop you from doing the work of an altar here. Am I right? Listen, and I'm not talking about the present assembly, in the present assembly, but I've been in assembly, brother and sister, and I've watched the Christians. And I've looked at the men to whom they've gone, to whom they've poured out their woe and asked for advice. Men that they've trusted and acted upon their word. That man's a shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. Now there's a man. God says, a man has found him, a man after my own heart. He wanted some living for. He got found him. He found him in the right place. And that's the man that was standing in appreciation of the sacrifice. He said, I tell you this, I've been there before, I wouldn't be an elder for all the clean time. Unless, of course, God did in the heart of us. Dear brother and sister, you're not sitting on a committee. You're caring for the flock of God. There's a man with appreciation of sacrifice. And the work of an elder will demand a lot of sacrifice. There's a man that's not making any calls. It's not the outward appearance. And when that lad is brought, now he's described lovely. There he was. A radiant sunset. That's how he meant. My living against the elements of the weather of all time. Cold and heat, summer and winter, just said the sunset. He hated you. Health in body. Now don't say that literally, guys. Now don't say that I ever said that an elder in the meeting was going to have a healthy body. Because I didn't. What I'm saying is this. There ought to be a spiritual health. There is seen against the adversity of the world of flesh and the devil. The author of the truth. And then, goodly, the lit truth, the past, the spirit, it means noble in his son. Lord, the Spirit of God. But it's a beautiful accompaniment. And I don't know whether you imagine it like mine, but prepare thy eh? You know, I like a man that can make you set me out. Eh? I know some that, when they talk to you, you've always got something to hide, and I like a man that can make you set me out. Without being told in the church. To say the eye is the mirror of the soul. I used to know a man who used to say to me, you don't like him looking at it. He doesn't look happy when he's seen it. The mirror of the soul. The soul, body, soul, spirit. That soul is God. In every department of his life, there is that very good testimony. He is God. And then last of all, there is Samuel. And Samuel can turn over the pages of his, I was going to say his New Testament, but he can turn over the pages of his Bible. And he can say, that's the man. That's the man that God has been talking about. That's the man that puts in you the scriptures. Hey, have him. And then he hears God say, arise, anoint him. So it is true. There, the stripling of a lad had qualified before his God and qualified before his elders and had qualified before the Father. And God is delighted in you. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you to fit that man. So he says, there the end is your hand. There the end is your hand. Oh my God, I'm not throwing stones, not in the list, but I'm quite here. Each one of us will consider the qualifications of an elder as God presents him in the 16th chapter of the first book of Samuel. And may God bless you.